It's Central Time. I'm Dean Kinetter, in today for Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Advancements in artificial intelligence are changing the way we produce written material. Language model chatbots like ChatGPT can pull from the full knowledge base of the internet and churn out coherent, advanced writing in just seconds. That raises ethical questions for all forms of formal writing, including in the classroom. ChatGPT can produce an original college-level book report in just a few clicks, making it hard for English teachers to tell what students actually wrote themselves. Our next guest says these technologies mean we need to rethink how we teach English class and engage students in real writing. We want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. How do you think we should handle AI and ChatGPT in classrooms? Are you concerned about the ways the younger generation will be learning to write? Do you think they need to learn to write? If you are or have been a teacher, how do you think English class could be changed for the better? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Daniel Herman is a high school teacher at Maybeck High School in Berkeley, California, and a faculty associate at Bard College's Institute for Writing and Thinking. He's the author of the book Zen and the White Whale, a Buddhist rendering of Moby Dick. He wrote a column in The Atlantic late last year about AI in English class, and his follow-up piece this month is called High School English Needed a Makeover Before ChatGPT. Daniel, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Daniel, you have had a front row seat to this change in how students can write. You've tested it out yourself by feeding prompts into it from your class. For those of us listening who aren't familiar with ChatGPT and what it can do, can you give us an idea of, you know, what it makes students capable of in an English class?
Oh, geez, where do I even start? I mean, maybe the first thing that I ever saw was on what we used to call Twitter last, I guess, late November. The first thing I ever saw was somebody had asked it to rewrite the To Be or Not To Be soliloquy from Hamlet in the voice of Donald Trump. And just in an instant, it spit back this pretty hilarious, clever thing. And when I started playing around with it and I asked it to tell me a bedtime story for my kids that puts together Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and Harry Potter or whatever it is. I mean, it really can do anything. And we could talk about that for hours. What for me really sort of made my, started giving me heart palpitations was when I started feeding it prompts that I would give my students for big formal assignments, and watched it just make short work of something that would take my students ages. And that's when my own journey really started. And, you know, ChatGPT, for all that is terrifying and overwhelming about it, it's really been an opportunity over the past 9 months or so to look at what we're doing in English classes and why we're doing it, to think about what we're talking about when we talk about, quote unquote, English class.
And when you first started realizing what could be done with this and, you know, book reports and essays being able to be spit out in just seconds, what sort of questions first came to mind? Was it terror? Was it opportunity? What did you feel?
Oh, that's a little bit of both, I guess. You know, it's funny that, again, it's really made me think about this tradition that we've been handed down of what is supposed to happen in an English class. It's funny because, of course, it's broken into pieces, composition over here, liberal arts, literature. But it's really a historical accident that we ended up with the tradition that we have today, where it is just taken for granted that we should be writing essays about The Great Gatsby, that students should be able to write something that is cohesive and consistent and advancing an argument that is doing this literary analysis about a modern text. That's, again, I mean, there, I could go into detail, but it's a long story that goes hundreds of years back, 300 years in the past. People wouldn't have thought that students should be able to write what we now think of as the dreaded five-paragraph essay. And at the same time, it really has made me think about writing in a completely different way. I've always just said, this is something that you're going to be able to have to do, that somebody's going to ask you to write in this way moving forward. And if that's not the case anymore, if a computer can do it for us in the same way that I don't need to know how to multiply three-digit numbers in my mind because I have a calculator. Again, I'm not immediately saying that it's not worth doing, but it's worth asking the question, why is it worth doing? Especially, and this is such a key point for me, is to watch my students who are already stressed out and overwhelmed in all the ways that we were all so familiar with, have such a hard time with, in particular, formal writing assignments. And I can say more in a minute. We do pretty much all we do in my English class is writing in the classroom and sharing our writing. But then there's this pivot where they have to take all that writing and turn it into something polished. And that's super challenging for so many of my students. And I'll be, you know, no shade to my students who I all love and are all brilliant in any number of ways, but not all of them are going to be wonderful writers in the same way that I can carry a tune, but I'll never be a wonderful singer, no matter how hard I work at it. So are there ways that we can shift what we're expecting of students to maximize the benefits and minimize the detriments?
We're talking with Daniel Herman right now, high school teacher from Maybeck High School in Berkeley, California, author of two recent columns in The Atlantic about how AI and ChatGPT could change English class in the future. And Daniel, what are some of those ways that you think we can reorient our thinking about writing in a positive way? How could we, you know, let ChatGPT not take over, but sort of change our thinking to a more useful way for students?
Yeah, totally. So it's funny. I mean, really sort of an epiphanic moment for me was realizing just how much writing my students do all the time. That when I was a teenager, I would be on the phone with my friends. And I think that happens way less frequently now. Students or teenagers are texting each other or writing captions for on Instagram or TikTok or whatever they're doing. They're actually writing a lot. And so when I was hired at my current job 10 years ago, my boss, this guy, Bill Webb, introduced me to something called the writing-centered model in the classroom. And this is the work that I'm now doing with Bard College at the Institute for Writing and Thinking, or IWT. And instead of what many people will know as a discussion-based model or Socratic method, where a teacher asks a question into the room, and then students raise their hand and they say things that the teacher can either say, oh, that's good, or, oh, okay, maybe we should think about this in another way. In this model, a teacher asks a question into the room. A rule of thumb is never ask a question you know the answer to. And then all students write a response, and the teacher does it along with them. And I'll ask a few questions. We all do this writing, and then we share some of what we wrote. And pretty much that's what we do for 80 minutes a day for a few weeks. And all my students are good at it. Hmm. They might not like it. It's hard. It's exhausting. But they don't write sort of formal, quote-unquote, writing or polished, quote-unquote, writing. They write the way that they would talk. And they have phenomenal ideas and insights about the text. And I might ask them, what does this text remind you of? Or what's a line that you're interested in or curious about? What's something weird that you found in this text? And then at the end of all that, they take all that writing and they are going to, yes, turn it into something more cohesive that they're going to turn in to be assessed. And what I found is, so the guy who started this writing-based pedagogy is a guy named Peter Elbow, and he had this distinction between low-stakes writing and high-stakes writing. And when he talked about high-stakes writing, he meant because it was going to be graded. And I've been thinking about high-stakes writing in a different sense. High-stakes because it's meaningful to them, that they're going to be way less likely to go to ChatGPT if, when it comes to writing this thing that they're going to be graded on, they already have a ton of writing that they've done in the classroom, and a lot of it is about them, and it's something that they already feel connected to, rather than in the discussion-based model where they go home with practically nothing unless they're taking notes during a discussion, which I think is pretty rare for students, and have to face this dreaded blank page with the blinking cursor asking them to write the introduction and then the body paragraphs, blah, blah, blah. So it's really opened up a lot of ways to think about other forms of essay, and if it goes in unexpected directions, that's fine. If it has transitions that don't quite fit together, really, what's the most important, or rather than me ensuring that students are conforming to this rigid model, really wanting to emphasize that they are learning and thinking and something that's frankly worth doing and really going to increase their well-being.
We're talking with writer and high school English teacher Daniel Herman about artificial intelligence and how ChatGPT could make us rethink how we teach English classes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you used ChatGPT or something similar? Do you think there's room to incorporate it in an English class? If you're a teacher, current or former, we would love to hear from you. Have you seen this at play in your classroom? Are you scared? Are you hopeful? Let us know what you think. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Knetter. Right now, we're picking up the talk with Daniel Herman. He's a writer and a high school teacher at Maybeck High School in Berkeley, California. We're talking with him about his recent pieces for The Atlantic, the latest of which is called High School English Needed a Makeover Before ChatGPT. And Daniel, before the break, you were talking about the new approach that you're trying in your classroom. And I remember when I was in school, probably long before, the 5-paragraph essay was the way to write. And it almost felt like you're just checking off the points on a rubric. It sounds like you're hoping that content and ideas come first, and then you can polish it up later with ChatGPT or not. Is that a change we maybe should have been exploring before AI?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, if for no other reason that students hate it. I mean, they just, it is so deadening to them. And at the same time, it's funny because for years I teach essays, really extraordinary essays by Virginia Woolf and Annie Dillard and James Baldwin, and none of them is a 5-paragraph essay. They are creative and experimental and wonderful. And my students say, wait, how come you call this an essay? And then when we have to write an essay, it has to be introduction, thesis statement, body paragraph, body paragraph, body paragraph, or body paragraphs forever for 15 pages, 20 pages, body paragraphs. But then this conclusion that wraps everything up with a nice, nice, pretty bow. And there have always been different ways to think of an essay. And even then, I'll go further that, you know, I think that it's worth considering that maybe I'll back up and say, as a teacher, there's nothing better than being in a classroom, being engaged with 20 people or 40 people who are all thinking about the same thing with their minds and with their experiences and beliefs. And to bring all those things together is just, there's sparks. It's so exciting. And then everybody retreats to their individual screens and everybody is expected to write their own statement to basically, this is why I'm right about this idea about the Great Gatsby or whatever. And another opportunity that ChatGPT offers us is maybe we can think about that entire structure of the essay. Maybe we can do something more collaborative where, so last semester, I tried different things out where I would ask students questions. They would answer in a Google document, and then those documents would be shared, and each student would end up with a few of their classmates writing and their own on a document, and they would be able to get rid of what they didn't like without that student seeing. They would all make copies and respond to it, offer rebuttals, expand on it if they like those ideas, and then they would submit that for a grade. So it's not just their own voice in its own individual silo, but they and people who they maybe disagree with have to coexist. And you know, I want, as a blanket caveat for anybody who's listening to this and screaming about all the expectations that are put on students with standardized tests and everything, I want to be completely open about the fact that things are going to move way more slowly than they should. In the same way that AP exams for years have been graded based on how many fancy vocab words students have, and that doesn't show that they really have learned something about the topic in the AP exam. It just learns that they know how to take an AP exam. So I understand that the way that things should go and the way that they are going to go are not going to be the same thing. But these things are worth considering, as far as I know.
And Daniel, you note in your pieces on this that not every high school is the same. Not every classroom is the same with curriculum, class sizes. We just have about a minute left, but could you speak to the teachers out there who might be seeing this creep into their classrooms too, whatever the subject, and give them some thoughts about how to think about ChatGPT.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess just for all of us have this opportunity to think about what's worth doing. And we all have to do things that we don't want to do, like grade and all, you know, parent-teacher night or back-to-school night. But for me, for my students, there's nothing that I feel would be more beneficial to persuade them that books are worth their time. I've been thinking about that movie, The Clockwork Orange, with the Ludovico technique, where they have to pin the guy's eyeballs open so he has to look at this terrible image. That's what I want to do with great literature, so students are convinced that this is something that they should really have as part of their life. And there are ways that will encourage that, as far as I'm concerned. And then what we've been doing for so long is, in my experience, not the way to persuade them that.
Well, we'll leave it there. Daniel, thank you for joining us and for sharing this with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Daniel Herman is a high school teacher at Maybeck High School in Berkeley, California, and faculty associate at Bard College's Institute for Writing and Thinking. He's the author of the book Zen and the White Whale, a Buddhist rendering of Moby Dick. He was with us today to discuss two columns he wrote for The Atlantic called The End of High School English and High School English Needed a Makeover Before ChatGPT.